بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد. I'm standing because when you get to my weight you need either a minbar or a steel chair, right? And plus when you're a mujrim and you're criminal and you're standing in court in front of the jury, then they don't let you sit comfortably and hear your sentence, they let you stand, right? So there are a couple of things. Obviously if I'm going to be saying anything now after Mawlana Ridwan and Mufti Ismail Saab, then I'm going to be just repeating what has already been said. But a couple of things that I didn't mention, inshallah, that I'll draw your attention to. Ismail just mentioned the GPS. So Zakaria, just remind me at the end, I must explain to you what GPS means. Alright. So first question, and then I'm just going to leave the question to the floor. And then we'll continue with the lecture, inshallah. I asked a question in my masjid as well one day. I said, I want you to think and I want you to be honest with yourselves as well, men and women alike. Be honest with yourself. Don't answer this question because of what you think somebody else is going to think you should be answering. Don't answer the question because of what you know is right to answer. Because all of us have this in the back of our mind, I must please this one, I must please that one, I can't confuse this one, or I have a face in society, so I have to upkeep that certain level. But I want to ask the question to everybody who can hear what I'm asking. Who is your role model? Who do you really want to be like? Answer honestly. Even if it's a rock star, even if it's soccer player, who, answer the question properly. I'm not going to ask you to tell me what your answer is. Just answer the question sincerely to yourself. Don't answer the... And even thus far, maybe now you listen, you want to be like Mawlana Ridwan Kaji, or you want to be like Mufti Ismail. Until now, before you got here, who was your role model? Right. So there are a number of categories of people. We can't go into length. I'll get to the answer, don't worry, inshallah. But I'm feeling uncomfortable. There are a couple of categories of people you get in life. You get a man who knows where he is. He knows what's happening around him. He knows where he needs to be and he knows how to get there. That's the most fortunate category. You get those who know where they are, who know where they want to be, but they don't know how to get there. Then you get some unfortunate individuals who only know where they are right now. They don't know what they're doing with their lives, how they're going to get where, what they want to do, how they're going to, they know nothing. And then you get those, may Allah have mercy on all of us, they don't know where they are, they don't know what they're doing now, they don't know what they're supposed to be doing, so they don't even think about how to get anywhere else, because they're stuck in a trap. So this is unfortunately the condition many of us find ourselves in, where we, as Ridwan mentioned one day, we're Muslims in a non-Muslim country with our own backgrounds and mindsets and culture and customs, and we're trying to be Muslims in between, but we really don't know where we stand. We really don't know what to do with our lives, what we are supposed to be doing, and many times we confuse ourselves and make ourselves think that, okay, what I'm doing now is acceptable, but it actually isn't. And this is where we need the, this is where the reminder comes in, GPS. Good people's suhbat. GPS, good people's suhbat. Suhbat means company. Because that's the only way, my brother, when you go to a... I'm not saying when we, listen, when somebody goes to a party, just now you say, when we... When somebody goes to a party, why is it easy for him to start drinking? Because everybody's doing it. Why is it easy for him to start smoking? Because everybody's doing it. And you'll find many people, they're social smokers and social drinkers. They'll never buy a bottle on their own, and they'll never buy a cigarette either. But when he's at a party, and somebody gives, he'll take. Why? Because everybody's doing it. So when everybody's going in one direction, then we also go down that direction, because it's easy. So when you've got a GPS, good people, suhbat, it becomes easy to be like the good people, because everybody's doing it. This is why they have what is called an ijtima, a gathering, so that everybody can come here, so that we can see that, yo, there are actually more than one person trying to be good. So let's get into this. There must be something about it that you can see about 200-300 youth sitting here. There must be something. And let me just mention something very important to all those listening, the ladies that are listening as well, and all the boys. You might not be who this gathering is meant for. The brothers who aren't here and who need this message most, they're not here. That's what this message is for. So I want you to make the intention as you're sitting here now, that even if I know one person who wasn't here, I'm going to go and tell him about what happened. I'm going to go mention something that somebody said in one of the lectures. And I'm going to go and make dua for that person, so that he can somehow change his life, so he can somehow get a sahwa, an awakening, so that he can get this, you know, wake up call. There was a young boy standing on the side of the road, and he had his quadriplegic or paralyzed brother in a wheelchair next to him, and he was calling and calling and calling, and nobody stopped. Eventually picked up a brick, and the first car that came past, he flung the brick at the windscreen and it shattered. The man stops the car. He jumps out. "Are you crazy?" He said, "No, I'm not, but nobody was listening to me. I needed somebody to help. So why must we wait for a brick before we realize that, you know, I'm the one who needs the help the most?" And he realized that, you know what, I'm actually the one who needs the help the most. I've been driving in the fast lane, living my life how I wanted to, but I never paid attention to what's going on around me. Right? Now, you mustn't take the wrong message that now Mulana's saying you must pay attention, so you must walk in the mall like this. Window shopping and... No, that's not what I mean. Right. So, Mufti Ismail was talking about Tawbah, and Ridwan is talking about Tawbah, come back to Allah. So many of us have this misconception in our minds that in order to make Tawbah, let me take a step back because the brothers are looking like this, I'm a bit tall. When we make Tawbah, everybody has in their minds that I must be perfect now. That I make Tawbah and now I must become Junaid Baghdadi's elder brother or something. Whereas that's not the objective of Tawbah. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to acknowledge our weakness. And Allah wants us to acknowledge that we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that Allah is superior, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is magnificent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely perfect. And when we realize that I'm lowly, I am nobody and I'm nothing, but I have that extremely amazing Allah that is waiting just to hear me say I'm sorry, and He'll forgive me, and then the little bit of tawfiq will come again, and off I go. And then when I slip back again, "Ya Allah, I'm sorry," and then that little bit of tawfiq comes again. That, my brother, is what the purpose of Tawbah is. To remember Allah. You know, and may Allah forgive all of us. My brother's watching pornography, right? So even in sin, Allah reminds you about Himself. Even in sin, brother's watching pornography, now the picture comes up on the sister, may Allah save us, girls are also involved in all of this. The picture comes up on the screen. You can't say Subhanallah. You can't say MashaAllah. You can't say Allahu Akbar. You say Astaghfirullah. That dhikr, my brother, Allah is reminding you about Himself in your sin. You listen to a song, and in the song, may Allah forgive me also, I was a musician before Islam. So this words, "I'll be safe in devotion." Can you imagine how in the song, he's telling himself that he must be in devotion and he'll be safe. But he's not realizing he's going to be safe from his own nonsense. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds you about Himself, reminds you of the haqq, even when you're in the deepest, darkest pit of sin. Brother came and told me, "I'm in a very dark spot." Let me tell you this story rather. I have a friend in my area. His wife was diagnosed with cancer. Now this is how, you know, a mu'min has got iman in his heart, right? And everybody's clock ticks differently. Everybody's heart is connected differently. Someone's cell phone got MTN. Other one's got a poor signal with a selfie. I'm not advertising for anybody here, right? And even worse, you got a Neotel. Then that's like rock bottom. So everybody's signal is a bit different, and everybody's got his own unique frequency with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, his wife is in a hospital. She is terminally ill. She can barely move. She's gone in for chemotherapy because she's got cancer. And the difficulty of running up and down to hospital, looking after his wife, looking after the kids, trying to get the work done, everything, and it's just too much for him. He's sitting in a hospital, and he puts his hand in his head, and he says to his wife, puts his hands in his head, brother, nobody said anything to me. He puts his head in his hands, and he says to his wife, "You know what? I feel like I'm in such a dark place, and I feel like Allah is so far from me. I feel like I'm so distant from Allah." So in that condition, she looks at him and said, when you're in that dark spot, and you've caused it so badly, and you don't know where to turn, and you feel Allah is far from you, ask yourself, who moved? Who moved? Because Allah is always there. Allah is there for us. When you pick up your hands in the darkness of the night, Allahu Akbar. He says, the poet says, that, "Ya sahibi la taghtarir bitana'umin." Oh my friend, don't be beguiled by all the beauty and the enjoyments you see around you. فَالْعُمْرُ يَنْفَدُ وَالنَّعِيمُ يَزُولُ. Because your life is going to end, and so are all these things you're enjoying. وَإِذَا حَمَلْتَ إِلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً. When you're carrying a janazah to a qabr, فَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولُ. You're going to be carried next. Just remind yourself about that. So you wake up in the darkness of the night and it strikes you. That, "Ya Allah, I've caused it." Not like Mulana says, the message goes off on you. Check the message, and she sent the message. Or he sent the message, and now the remorse settles in. 3 o'clock in the morning, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be reading Tahajjud now, I'm talking to my girlfriend. So what? You pick up your hands and you say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry. That rahmah that comes on you then, brother, nobody's going to explain it. Nobody can explain that rahmah. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we look for. So, we're talking about tawbah. That nobody's expected to be perfect. All Allah wants is that when you're causing it, you pick up your hands and say, I'm sorry. And then, you know in the back of your mind that, you know, now I'm feeling bad. And I'm picking up my hands. And the tears are coming down. And I'm, you know, I'm really in this dua thing that they call, you know, I must feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I know in the back of my mind that I'm probably going to slip again. Put that out of your mind completely. And Ya Allah, I'm making the intention that I am going to try my level best. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah ta'ala, believe it or not, he was young too one day. When we hear Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, you think about an old man. Speaking about old man, I came out of my house one day. I lived right next door to the masjid. So I come out of my gate and I'm in the parking lot, and an African man had run into the masjid, and 3 white guys ran in behind him. And as I walk in, they're walking back out, all angry, and the black guy's walking out too. So when he sees me, now because I'm also a little bit on the fair side, he says to me, do you know these people? So I said, why? How would I know these people? So then they turn around and, sorry, I was like, so I look like a like Joshua Doe or something, our old uncle now. So, now you see, now I'm also young, brother, so I also understand. So, when I'm asking about Itanu, he was also young one day. So, he says that the easiest thing to do, right? The easiest thing is to be a Muslim. It's just so absolutely easy to be a good Muslim. And I'll leave you to digest that for a second. It's so easy to be a good Muslim. Because you only have to practice on one single sentence. Sounds easy, ne? Single sentence. When you're confronted with the opportunity to do something wrong, don't. And, it's a conjunction, so not 2 sentences, it's still a single sentence. And, when you have to do something good, make sure you do it. Subhanallah. Deen is easy, ne? Right, so tawbah. Back to that, I'll leave you to digest that a little bit more. Nobody's expecting us to be perfect, so just realize. Somebody asked Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu one day that bima arafta rabbak, how did you recognize Allah? He said araftu rabbi bi rabbi, I recognized my Rabb because he's my Rabb. Walawla rabbi lama araftu rabbi, if there was no Rabb I would not have had anyone to recognize. Then he said, but how did you not get this ma'rifah of Allah? He said al ajzu an al idrak idrak, to realize that I can't ever really recognize Allah. Then you've recognized Allah. Same thing, if you realize that I can never be perfect but I have to die trying, then that's it. And this is what Mullah Tanwi also said. He said that you're not the objective of tasawwuf, or what we say tasawwuf now, but what we're actually trying to talk about is being a good Muslim. The objective of being a good Muslim is not to achieve, is to die trying. And to make dua that one day I must get there. And this is the amazing thing about dua. We always hear that dua is accepted in various ways. Either you're going to get exactly what you asked for, so yes brother, inshallah, keep making dua for that Ferrari, Allah will give it to you. And, or you're going to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give you that Ferrari, He'll give you an Opel Astra 96 like mine, and the side mirror fell off so I had to buy a new one, right? And the aircon doesn't work, and the window struggles to come down, but alhamdulillah, it still got me here. So, you get the Opel Astra, but it'll save you from the accident. On our way here, I had 3 brothers in my boot, and they said, you know, and with this imam, alhamdulillah, now our iman increases. I was feeling so happy. They said, because he drives so bad, every time we see a car coming, then we start reading our kalimas and everything. So it mustn't be like that, you know, our company must be good. So we wreck al-ajzu anil. Okay, so let's finish this story now. You're either going to get what you want, or you're not going to get what you want. Allah's going to remove something. In fact, the guy said to me, the one in the back, he said, I was just thinking now, Allah's fazl and karam is not a fast car, because then subhanallah. Right, so, I call it my Opel. My Opel, my old friend. So, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you what you want, what you're asking for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you something better or remove a calamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stores your dua for you for akhirah. And then in Jannah you will get what you asked for, or will give you much better than what you asked for. So, if we make dua, Ya Allah, I want to be Junaid Baghdadi's big brother. Now, pious you're going to be, brother. You're looking at me, big eyes. Who's Junaid Baghdadi? Subhanallah. Right. Whoever, brother, whoever. I want to be the most righteous, pious Muslim on the face of this earth. My personal favorite, Abdullah bin Mubarak. Read about him, inshallah. So I want to be like Abdullah bin Mubarak. Or I want to be like a certain Sahabi. I want to be... So, if I make that dua, either Allah is going to make me like Abdullah bin Mubarak. So what did I lose? Because then I got what I asked for. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to make me like Abdullah bin Mubarak. He'll make me just like Mawlana Zakariya de Priya. Right? But he'll save me from problems in my life because I'm trying to be pious. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't do any of that. And I'll be still wallowing in my abyss of guna and sin and making dua that Allah must forgive me. But in akhirah, I'll be Abdullah bin Mubarak. So what did I lose by making dua? So this is the answer, my brother, to the question I asked. Who is your role model? I don't want to have a show of hands here, but ask yourself the question. Did I think about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did I think about a sahabi? Did I think about a pious man that emulates Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the sahaba? Or did I think about a sports star? Did I think about a movie star? Did I think about a rock star? Did I think about any of... When I make dua, do I make dua for money? Or do I make dua for imani? Iman. So I make dua for imani or for imani? What do you make dua for? Because these duas, I told you, it's powerful stuff. But there's three things you can get. Make dua that Allah must make me a good Muslim with lots of imani. Make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give me a GPS, good people's suhbah, good people's company. And boy came to me and asked me, I had a dream. Right? Now, I'm no Ibn Sirin, right? But I try. You see, the thing is that the hadith says that when you have a dream, you must go tell somebody who's a good friend of yours, not somebody who might be jealous of you, because the good friend will give a good interpretation to it. So the boy comes to me, he says to me, he had this dream. That he's in his sunnah libas, in his kurta and everything, he's going to the masjid, and he's with his friend, but his friend's face is distorted. He's got a beard and everything, but his friend's face is distorted. And where his friend would never hurt him, his friend slaps him in this dream. So he walks, they're in the masjid, and this friend is just he's not feeling his friend. And off they go out the masjid, and they're back home, and when he turns into his street, he sees his friend standing by the door, and he thinks, but I was just with this guy, and when he looks right, the friend is gone. So I said to him, in my very, very deep interpretation of his dream, that brother, it looks like you got the company of wrong people. The man is pretending to be your friend, but he's hurting you. And if you're going to keep company with this person, you can see there's something funny about him because his beard is skew and his jaw is distorted and you're not feeling it. So, this means that this man is not the company for you. And when you turned the street, the corner, and you saw your friend standing there, you felt the peace. Your friend was shocked at what you're doing with this guy. When you turned right, he was gone. So I said to him, you get good company. Alhamdulillah, he's sitting here. He's sitting here. He came for the GPS. The good people, suhbat. Right? So this is it, my brothers. Let us understand that when I make tawbah, it doesn't mean I must be perfect now. It doesn't mean I have to be, as I said, Junaid Baghdadi or the next greatest saint on the face of this earth. Let me tell you something about Mahmoud Afendi, my brother, subhanallah. Sheikh Mahmoud Afendi, one of the greatest pious people on this planet, he said one day that there are 4,000 sunnahs that you can practice on from the moment you open your eyes to the moment you close them before you sleep at night. How many? You're not 4,000. If we had that much money, ne? We want imani. We don't want imani. So, 4,000 sunnahs. He said, if I even leave out 4, then you've got full permission. Don't read salah behind me. Subhanallah. That's 3,996 sunnahs, my brothers. If I ask you, okay, let's enumerate, not 4,000, not 440 sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll be struggling. But this is it, because he's had his objective. He was like that first category of people, that he knows where he is now. He's taken stock of himself. He's got a list of what sunnahs I have in, which sunnahs I have in my life and which I don't. And then he got himself GPS, good people, suhbah. And he started making an effort to get to where he wants to be because he knows where he wants to be as well. So let us make the intention as we're sitting here. Okay, I might not be in a very good space. I might be in that space where I feel Allah is far from me. But it's not because Allah moved, it's because of me. I am not the one turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not going to Allah. When Allah says, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, like Mufti Ismail mentioned, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, it means run to Allah. When you're confronted with the sin, the brother says to me, now his girlfriend phoned him, what must he do? So I said, go sit in the masjid. You're not going to talk to your girlfriend in the masjid, are you? You're bad if you speak to you. Subhanallah, speak to your girlfriend in the masjid. Subhanallah. Right? So now you want to listen to music, so go sit in the masjid with the Quran. Anybody going to listen to music in the masjid? Nobody. I'm fortunate, I live next door to the masjid, so I can run to the masjid. Right? So imagine if you run from your house down the block to the masjid. By the time you get there, you're so tired, you'll forget about your sin, my brother. Then in the masjid, inshallah, you make the cold wudu, and you read the surah, salam, sidi Quran, inshallah, you'll forget long about that sin. Right? So, this is the reality of tawbah. Let us be the one going to Allah, because Allah is not going anywhere. Allah is waiting for us. We just have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Then, 6 points of youth. You know, 6 points. Iman, Salah. What's the other one? Ikram, ilm and zikr, ikram al-muslimin, ikhlas and fi sabilillah. Right. So, 6 points of youth. Money, girls, of the girls and the boys. Cars, sports, parties, music, drugs. Yes or no? That's 7 points. But these are the kind of these are the kind of points that I asked the boys in my maktab one day. I said, what do you speak about at school? Speak about girls? Yeah. Cars? Definitely. Sports? For sure. We play soccer. Speak about parties? Yep. Because the ones you went to the other week, yeah. So they speak about, they confess, they speak about all these things. Say, do you ever speak about Allah? Like the baboon. Let's make mashwara. Subhanallah. Yeah, when we say astaghfirullah in the same gathering, then we mention Allah's name. Right? So, I said to them that why is it that we don't speak about Allah? Because your friends know you're Muslim. They're also probably Muslim with you. Why is it that we don't, even the girls, speak about makeup, speak about this magazine and that magazine, may Allah save us, and this supermodel and that star and whatever, I want to look like this one, look like that one, this new treatment and that treatment and this weight loss program, like when I was mentioning. I also pick up weight. Not weight, other weight. I picked up lots of weight, brother. Lots. I can pick up 40 kgs for you easy. Just give me enough burgers and coke and I'm there. Right? The one brother was saying that, you know, yeah, when I was in madrasa, he said to me that, you know, his father also, now when his mother was expecting, his father also looked like he was expecting. The only difference is his mother had delivered and his father never delivered. Like, so he's still looking like he's expecting. And he just gets more and more expecting. Like, so we mustn't be like that. Anyway, so the point is the 6 points of being young is all these things. So why don't we speak about Allah? Because we feel shy. I asked the question on the day of Qiyamah. Sorry, they wanted like a commercial break, so they made me give bayan, like, you know, heavy bayan, then commercial break. So everyone can just relax a little bit. Go and read your Dhuhr Salah with a smile on your face. Inshallah, there's hope. They need a specimen of what not to become, so I'm telling you now. All right. Let's move on. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu salam, salallah. Right, so the 6 points of youth, okay. We're all involved in, to some extent, in these kind of things. Why don't we speak about Allah in our groups, in our gatherings? Why when somebody starts talking about these things, we find it so easy to just start indulging in the conversation? Because our hearts are inclined. If we cleaned our hearts, then we wouldn't be interested in those kind of conversations. When somebody starts singing a song, if your heart was inclined to Quran, you'd feel like, really, I don't want to hear this. But because our hearts are inclined, so when you go into the one brother was telling me, astaghfirullah, you go into a shopping center, at least they must play nice music, like, because everybody's hearing it. They mustn't play this rubbish. So now, other people, you'd walk into a mall, they'd walk out of the mall, and you complained about the music was so terrible, and he was like, sorry, bro, I was making dhikr, I didn't hear any music. Allah must give us like that kind of dhikr, eh? That you don't, subhanallah. And the worst is, I walked into a shop, and the brother's playing music in his Muslim guy, Muslim shop, music playing, and a magazine stand there. I was very disgusted. I said to him, brother, are you Muslim? He said, yeah. So you're playing music, you've got magazines here, how do you justify all of this? So he says, no, we put the magazines behind the door, so you can only see them when you walk out. So that's like making your guna behind the door so nobody can see you. Only if they come in and they'll check you, then they'll see you. So how does that help? He said, no, and the music, no, we interpreted the Quran that Dawood alayhi salam used to sing, like, you know, so there must be some permissibility. Otherwise, why did Allah mention it in the Quran? Ajib. Let's check this. So this is why we need that GPS. Muhammad's not going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with this, but Dawood sings alayhi salatu salam, so let's all listen to music. Right? So then, if that was the case, I'm not going to say anything. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Right? So another thing I wanted to tell the youth, that, you know, we normally have this in our mind that I can only be pious if I go study in Darul Uloom and I become a big Sheikh al-Samawati wal-Ard. Or I become I must become like this. My beard must be to my belly button. I'm not mid-calf and pull my pants up to under my knees. And I must grow a long zulfa. That's not what piety is, my brother. Piety is to do what Allah wants you to do. And don't do what Allah doesn't want you to do. And practice on the sunnah. Then you got piety. Then you got taqwa. Right? So, there's a poem in Urdu. I can't remember it. I just remember the English version, the explanation of it. That be whatever you want to be in life. Be whatever you want to be in life. But for Allah's sake, just be a Muslim whatever. Understand? And if you can't be a Muslim whatever, then don't be that. You'll be a Muslim rock star. Everybody's going to laugh at you, my brother. Understand? Think about it. A Muslim drug dealer. Now, crack dealers, the guys when they come in the short shirts and the pants, when they go ruku, and ya Allah, crack dealers in the masjid. So now also doing crack in the masjid too. Allah save us. So this is why Allah says, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ. Wear the sunnah clothes, my brother. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. And then the girls, ya Allah, the latest trends now, you must wear a black cloak, you know, because it's black. You're supposed to be modest. Then you wear a bright pink jacket. I don't look at the girls. Don't say now. Mulana, check now. Check this, Mulana. Bright pink jacket with a bright pink bag and bright pink shoes and a bright pink scarf. So now, brother, who are you fooling? You said the clothes that a Muslim woman is supposed to wear is supposed to be such that you don't attract attention to yourself. Now you're more neon. Some people, ya Allah, Allah must forgive. I'm not going to say this. Right, so you're more neon with your Islamic garb on than what you were if you just wore jeans and a t-shirt. I'm not saying you must not go wear jeans and t-shirt, but what I'm saying is, like, let's be reasonable. Who are you fooling? Same thing with the boys. Dawood Sidat mentioned this one day. He said he's got 7 zips on his kurta. What do you need so many zips for? One for your pen here, one for your ID here, one for your license there, one for your gun in the back. What is it for? 7 zips. Then multicolored, and this pocket is like this, and then got a skew kurta and a skew sleeve and a half a sleeve. And a now come now. Ask yourself a question. Would the Sahaba be wearing clothes like that? Modest clothes. We just heard about Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, right? Last night. That he was wearing, I think more than once by about Umar bin Khattab. He used to have a black jubba, right? A black coat, right? Which he would wear when he was meeting delegations, because it is sunnah to dress properly and very neatly when you're receiving respectable guests. So, they came into Medina Munawwara, they asked, where's the Amirul Mu'mineen? The whole Persia and Rome is crooking for him, so where is he? So now he's in the masjid. He's wearing the black cloak. When they walked in, they saw someone lying there with a torn, tattered kurta on the sand, on a pillow, and they walked out. They said, there's no one in the masjid. He said, no, it's him. It's him. Because he took his cloak off after the delegation left. He folded it up and made it a pillow. And now he's sleeping. And when they gave him a nice kurta one day, very nice kurta, you and I would be like, Masha, all my sabr, Allah finally paid off, alhamdulillah. You know? He put the kurta on, very nice kurta, beautiful. He took it back off and put his old one on. So I asked him, what? Why are you taking this off? You need a new kurta. He said, no, the other one absorbs my sweat better. It sounds funny, but think about it. You and I, one brother, I was mentioning this. Now, I've got a friend. He's got like about 30 kurtas in his cupboard. Yes. And you know, he said to me as well, alhamdulillah, now I wear all my kurtas. Your poor wife, brother, she must be standing in kurtas all day. Every day a different one. It's 30, one for every day. And Allah save us, if it's a 28th of Feb, then there's 2 kurtas left, so you must wear 2 on 2 days so that you can cover up for your 30. So I was mentioning this in a bayan, and the one brother came to me after Salah and he's laughing. He said, Monona, you talking about 30 kurtas? I got 45. And then not only was making nazar on my kurtas, so we even gave him another one. So I got 46 now. Right? But look at the Sahaba. They were simple people. They didn't go around, you know, now you must flaunt your Islam. I'm very pious. I've got a bright pink turban on. This is not necessary. You think it's funny. There's a sheikh, got a bright pink turban, and he says to his murids, if you make tawaf around me, it's like making tawaf around the Kaaba. Allah save us. You must make istilam with a stick with that sheikh, you know. Kiss the stick and istilam. All right. So, we can be whatever we want to be in life, right? Just be a Muslim whatever. Please, and if you can't be a Muslim, whatever you want to be, then no, it's not the right thing for me. It's not the right thing for me. I can't be a Muslim rock star. How are you going to rock in with a kurta and a turban on stage and jamming your guitar? They're going to laugh at you. Sadly, you know what? People think that this libas is traditional, Right? They say now, for instance, the slitted kurta. The Hindus in India also wear slitted kurtas. Brother, but did you think about this? And this is the point I want to get to. Muslims are the trendsetters. We are, I am fashion. You understand? I am me. I am. One brother was fighting with his wife. Because I will not eat warmed up food. I want fresh food. When I walk in the house, it mustn't be warmed up. It must be fresh. It must come out of the pot. So he went to complain to Abdul Hamid, and the whole fight got there, and the husband and the wife, and she's saying, but like, it's not reasonable. I make the food, he comes late from work, then I have to warm it up. So he says, I am food. Yes, brother, you are a pie. I'm pious because I love pies. Man. You are a pie. Think about it. How can you be so dense? I am food. A whole lot of other things too. So we are fashion. We set the trend. That's why the slitted kurta, if you go back and you check, I didn't go do research. I'm hypothesizing here, if you understand. I'm presenting my theory that it probably dates back to when the Muslims were ruling India. Because how come there's a slitted kurta in Jordan where there were no Hindus there? How come the Turks also wear slitted kurtas? There were no Hindus there. How come the Afghanis also wear slitted kurtas? Yes, you can tell me, but Morana, there are Hindus in Afghanistan. I understand there are Hindus in Afghanistan. But how come there are so many different... In fact, the slitted kurta in Jordan is called the dish dash. Because it goes tsh, tsh, tsh when you walk. You should run the kurta. I'm not lying. I'm telling you. You think I'm a pauper. I'm telling the truth. It's called the dish dash. Because of the sound it makes. So we are fashion. And I'm going to draw your attention to a fact that's mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu walks out of his house one day and there's a slave woman. She put a scarf on her head. He took out his whip, true to his, and he gave her a good smack. Take the scarf off, you're not a free woman. Why? Because in an Islamic country, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this one is specifically for the ladies. In an Islamic country, a non-Muslim woman is not allowed to wear a burqa. She's not allowed to wear a abaya. In a true Islamic country, she's not allowed to wear a niqab because that is an honor that is given to a Muslim woman. And the slaves, they must wear just enough to cover themselves so that their aura is not exposed, and they must do their work. And the non-Muslim woman, they must feel inferior so that they can feel like, you know what, I don't have the honor and the respect and the dignity accorded to a Muslim woman, so that they can be encouraged to accept Islam so that they can cover their bodies too. So yes, my brothers in Islam, covering your body, my sisters in Islam, covering your body is an honor that is accorded and given and granted and bestowed upon a Muslim woman. Now look at how the world has changed. Yesterday, unfortunately, was the commemoration of the fall of the Ottoman Empire. The last day there was a Khalifa on this dunya was the 3rd of March 1924, I believe. The last day there was a Muslim Khalifa. Let me explain to you. He may not have been the most pious man on the face of this earth, but because he was the focal point, the ambassador of Islam globally, France wanted to stage a play in theater where they were mocking Islam. So he caught wind of it, the Khalifa, and he sent them a letter. He said, if you even dare stage this play, I will launch an army on you and you will regret. They didn't have the guts to stage the play. So what do? You stage a coup and you break down the whole Khilafah and you abolish the whole Khilafah. And now there's nobody to stand up and unite the Muslims. Let's be honest. Why do you think we're going to need the Mahdi? And the Mahdi is going to be selected specially by Allah so that when he says, okay, let's go, everybody goes. Because, bro, if I have to stand up in the Kaaba and say, come, let's go, everybody's going to look at me, fine, there's the door. You understand? It's going to have to be somebody really special. Somebody really, really special. So this is how the Khalifa was. He may not have, but he was special because he was the voice of the whole Muslim Ummah globally. So we are the trendsetters. Don't let them fool you that, okay, break down the Khilafa. Now you change the whole story around. And now you're backward if you cover yourself. Why? Because you can't. Now she can't cover herself because she's not Muslim in a Muslim country. So now what must she do? She'll make the Muslim feel like she's backward and like she's being oppressed so that she can feel bad. So why? So you can dress like a slave. Ask yourself this. Is this the fact? This is the fact of it. So you change the whole thing around. So now the Muslim girls feel like they're being oppressed and... They're not. One person said that a woman mustn't cover their faces because, you know, it's their identity. Really? Do you want to know everyone's identity, brother? So this is the problem. This is the problem. What? Allahu Akbar. One time we said one of the dumbest sins, the dumbest sins, is to look at the opposite gender. Right? Because you're obviously going to look at somebody you'll never get. Be honest. Anybody going to look at somebody ugly? You're not going to look at somebody nice. Right? So you're going to look at somebody you'll never get, just so you can go home and regret. How's my poetry? You're going to look at somebody you'll never get, and then you get these sihr and jadu cases, where they must cast a spell so she can win this woman's husband. Brother, why didn't you go for a men's health model then? Anyone understand what I said? If you want to steal someone, go steal a good looking guy, or go steal somebody else's old 60-year-old husband. I'm not saying you must not go do sihr on young people. What I'm saying is that look at how shaitan fools us. Look at how shaitan fools us. So now you'll never look at somebody ugly, and you'll always look at somebody you'll never get, so you'll regret. And then Ustad Manal Choksi always says, nobody says you mustn't quote him, but I don't see a problem with this one. He says, you go in the mall, now specifically to the boys now, right? You go in the mall, it's the students of Deen. And then, Qayrullah is Kharab. Okay? Because you're looking at all the other women. So when you come home, now you're not Qayrullah, because you're walking in the mall. When you come back to Madrasa, you're reading Al-Dhuhr Salah, Namaz Kharab. Because you're not concentrating on your salah. You think about all the women you were seeing. And then when you finally do get some rest, lungi kharab. Because it comes out. So this is the problem. So how did you make your life any better? How did you make your life any better by abusing your eyes? And then if you're a married man and your spouse catches you, then what? Marriage kharab. And like Mufti Ismail was mentioning, it's true. Think about it. The brothers want to contest the fact that TV is haram. Contest it as much as you want. But how are you going to explain? The one brother, ya Allah, you get these heavy alamas in dunya sometimes, right? TV is not haram. What's on the TV is haram. Okay, so buy one and leave it there off, bro. Because if you put it on, it's a problem. So just buy one, waste your 6 grand, and leave it off, because what's on the TV is the problem. You understand? So now what you can do with off TV? So now contest the fact that there are women that don't cover themselves. Or the women are looking at the man. They know how. I said to my masjid one day, I said, don't tell me family time is watching a movie, please. That's destroying your marriage time. Because why? You sitting in the movie, she's sitting in the movie, she's not looking at the aunties on the screen, Drew, and you're not looking at the men. So what kind of thing? You got your arm around your wife looking at somebody else. Think about it. And everybody walks out, hey, what a good movie. How Allah, how shaitan fools us, right? So let us not be fooled. Sometimes we have, now you can't contest the fact that there's music on the television. Even if you say to me, no, but it's just that, like that, I don't want to sing the tune now for you, the tune before the news, even 702, talk radio, ne? Talk too much. But then I've got a little bit of tunes in between as well. The news comes on, they must have the news tune. That's also music. And the finished of the news tune, and then the dramatic ending, and the drum roll, and then it's done. Then the next conversation starts. That's music. And be honest with yourselves, even on the radio stations, if you're listening to a kosher, Sennheiser approved radio station, but then they've got a woman posing as a person who's going to go buy drugs from a drug dealer so they can catch out a notorious drug dealer in the area. Now please tell me how that fits in with the picture of Islam, where a Muslim woman dresses up in non-Muslim clothes and pretends to go and buy drugs from a non-Muslim man with the camera, the recording crew behind her so that they can catch the guy. Now please tell me, how does that work in Islam? Or they're discussing the most vulgar things on television. Now for instance, they want to discuss about AIDS, and then they must discuss about, may Allah forgive us, in the masjid, condoms and all the rest of it. But it's the Muslim woman interviewing a man, non-Muslim man, and they're talking about this on an Islamic Sennheiser-approved radio station. Explain. Because we're fooling ourselves, my brother. So this is why we need the GPS. Good people suhbah. Because good people suhbah will tell you there's something wrong with it. And it'll rub off on you. It'll definitely rub off on you. Like Mufti Ismail was talking about the smoking. Sulaiman Mullah told us this one day. That his son, he had a friend, a very naughty boy. So his father said to him, no, you can't have that. That's the naughty boy. So he said, yeah, but Abi, his father's got a sajda mark. Yeah, but he doesn't have one. Even his father doesn't like this boy. So this is the problem. Now we want to justify all the, no, they smoke, it's not me, but how long? How long is it going to be? Right? So this is the thing. We are, as I mentioned, back to my point, we are the trend setters. So let us not be the sheep that run with the pen. Let us be like the salmon that swims upstream. Because we are the ones that people look up to. You know, if unfortunately the media has helped us in this regard as well. That if a white man, if a boor like me has to go and beat up his wife outside the street, and they say, yo, look at this guy. If a African man has to beat up his wife in the street, look at this guy. That a Muslim man, hey, you know what, in the Quran you can hit your wife. Did you check that? You see? So now we have to be on our best behavior all the time, because everything we say... lunch is 12 o'clock. Right. May Allah give us understanding. So, this is the story. Whatever I said, obviously, was from shaitan and my nafs. But whatever good came out of it, inshallah, we beg rather that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding, brothers. The GPS, please remember the GPS. This is why we're here. This is why we need all these pious people around us, so that we can get deen in our lives. And when we have deen in our lives, I promise you, like, and I'm going to stop. This is my last thing I'm telling you. Promise. Qasam to inshallah. I said inshallah with my qasam, so it doesn't count. So, when a man is drinking filthy water, now you're pumping it out of a borehole in a rural area in India, and you're getting like a nice red sand in your water, the whole glass, and you can wait for it to settle, it doesn't. So you take a sip, you have to drink it like that. Otherwise you're not going to get. So when you finally give that man a nice one like this, Aqua Moya, still natural. My brother, you know, when he drinks that water, it's something else for him. So you and I are living a life where it's murky. There's this sin, there's that sin, there's this discrepancy, there's that shortfall. Everything is not how it should be. The day we get that one sip of obedience to Allah, subhanallah, it's going to be something else. So let us ask Allah for that. Let us make that dua that I was mentioning, that Allah must, and get that role model in your life, the real one. Go and read about them. Find out about it. Find a pious person that you can say that, you know, I want to be like this man. Ask a teacher. Ask an alim. Give me a book of pious people so that I can read about them, so that I can see who I'd like to be like. Don't want to be like a soccer player. The only thing he can do is kick a ball. His marriage is in a shambles. He can't have a business. That's why he's running around a soccer field, because he gets money for that. So he can't work with money. Why do you think their lives are falling apart? Because they've got no rakhtan. So this is the thing we need. The GPS. Good people, sohbah. And this is what this is all about. Come here on a regular basis. Weekly or Tuesdays, there's programs here. Monthly, there are programs. On a Sunday, when nobody can... One boy said to me, he can't come to the program. Why? Because he's feeling bloated. But he told me on Wednesday. I said, but you're going to feel bloated on Saturday too. You're going to last all the... Anyway, so don't make excuses. It's on days where you and I are normally free. So make the effort. That fafirru illallah, run to Allah. Make that little bit of effort. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind, you know... Shakurun Halim, appreciates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appreciates the little bit we do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tolerates all the wrongs that we do. So the little bit of good Allah appreciates, the lot of wrong Allah tolerates. So when we make that little bit of effort, Allah pulls us towards Him faster than you and I could possibly ever dream of going. So make the little bit of effort, try and be a good person, get a good role model, know where I am now, take stock of myself and make a plan to get somewhere where I know I should be, and get the GPS in your life, because that's how it's going to happen. May Allah give us understanding. Forgive me for going over time, inshallah, and I'll have to eat a little bit faster. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.